I'll be on heaven's bright shore.
Tell your story with the redeemed of all the ages, praising the one whom I adore.
When I wake up
to sleep no more.
Good afternoon. We're gathered here today to celebrate the life of Elwood Schwarzengruber. And as we get started, can we just acknowledge what a beautiful day that God gave us? Rainy and nasty yesterday, and it sounds like it's going to be worse tomorrow. And God just blessed us with a beautiful day. Beautiful day for a beautiful man. Philippians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the church in Philippi. And in verse 3, he says, I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion till the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you, the affection of Christ Jesus. And I think that's some of the same things that we would all say about Elwood. Being thankful that God that started a good work in him has completed it. And we're all going to celebrate one day just like he is celebrating in heaven. We pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We pray that you bless this service. May it bring you honor and glory. We lift up the family. We lift up those that care deeply for Elwood. A wonderful husband, a wonderful brother, a wonderful grandpa, a wonderful church member. God, we celebrate him today. Bless this service. It's in Jesus' name we pray all of this. Amen.
Would you join me in turning in your blue hymnal to number 336. 336.
Thank you.
Elwood James Schwarzendruber was born November 26, 1931, in rural Parnell, Iowa, the son of Ora and Bertha Miller Schwarzendruber. He graduated from Iowa Mennonite School. On August 4, 1962, Elwood was united in marriage to Ethel Whitmer in Willow Street, Pennsylvania. They lived in Sharon Center for 12 years, and then in rural Wellman for many years where they farmed. Elwood and Ethel retired to Kelowna in July of 2012. He worked as a physical therapy aide at the University of Iowa Hospital for 32 years. Elwood was a member of the Lower Deer Creek Mennonite Church. Elwood died unexpectedly on Tuesday, November 20, 2018, at the Pleasant View home in Kelowna at the age of 86 years. Elwood is survived by his wife Ethel of Kelowna, a son Gary Schwarzendruber of Parnell, two daughters Sherry Schwarzendruber of Iowa City, Jolene and George Stalsus of Parksburg, Pennsylvania, five grandchildren, Jared, Corey, Laurie, Andrew, and Madeline, and four sisters, Wanda, Marion Yoder of Goshen, Indiana, Loris, Richard Cunningham of Mannheim, Pennsylvania, Janice, Lyndon Smith of Lima, Ohio, and Myrna, David Moyer of Telford, Pennsylvania. He was preceded in death by his parents and a brother-in-law, Curtis Graber. Childhood memories of our dad. A tall, thin man with dark, wavy hair. A steady, hard-working man that enjoyed a variety of jobs and hobbies. Our dad worked at the University of Iowa Hospital as a transportation orderly. And we remember his white pants, his white shirt, and his black shoes. He would return home every evening with very tired feet. He would always beg us children for a foot rub. And Sherry remembers that old pink foot vibrator that would get the job done. As a small child, I remember when he would return home from work, that he would come in and I would put one foot on each of his black shoes and I'd hold on to his hands and he'd walk me all around the house. Dad would sit on the sofa and he'd read to Gary, but he'd fall asleep. And Gary would constantly tell him, "Read, Dad, read." Sunday afternoons, Dad would again try to take that typical Sunday afternoon nap on the sofa, but he would get interrupted by Gary, who requested to go fishing, play catch, or go for a bike ride. We would often go for bike rides on Sunday afternoon, and Dad would be on his bike, and I would be riding on the attached seat behind on his bike, and Gary and Sherry would each be on their own. Dad always loved a picnic lunch. He loved making homemade ice cream. I remember one weekend, when Mom went away to a ladies' conference, and Dad made us eggs and bacon for breakfast. And all of us children were impressed because we didn't realize he had that skill. Afterwards, he took us yard sailing and he bought me a bike with a banana seat. How we well remember waiting to leave church on a Sunday evening and waiting and waiting and waiting some more, as Dad often found many things to talk about with his church friends. And then he needed to turn off all the lights and lock all the doors, as he was the custodian here at Lower Deer Creek. We can still hear him singing silly songs to us, and one of our favorites was "Frog Went A-Courting." All of us children helped Dad work in the fields to pull out corn from bean fields. We would pick up ears of corn the corn picker dropped, and we would pull buttonweeds from pig pastures. One particular time we were caught in the field by a surprise afternoon rainstorm. We crawled under a wooden trailer for protection, and Dad was calm through it all. And we remember well the hot dog roof after he would have a large brush pile that he had gathered from clearing the fence rows. Dad could wiggle his ears without moving anything else on his face, but none of us children inherited that trait. And he loved playing games, checkers, Monopoly, Yahtzee, Racco, Scrabble, Bible trivia, Upwards, Chinese checkers, and Mancala. People would often ask Dad, "How are you doing?" And he would always reply, "Oh, pretty fair." Well, we know he has a different answer now. And it might be, "I never felt this good before." We know Dad is in a much better place now with Jesus. And we are thankful for the days we could be with Dad here on earth. And thank you, Dad, for loving us.
So I have some memories from us as grandchildren for the time we got to spend with him. Grandpa was a gentle man, a good storyteller, a listener, and very interested in each and every one of us. It was always fun traveling to Iowa to Grandpa's farm. We enjoyed feeding the pigs and the goats, riding bikes Grandpa and Grandma had bought for each of us when we came out, swinging on the wooden swing under the trees. So when I was about 4 years old and visiting my grandparents, I was upstairs at the farmhouse getting dressed in the morning. I called downstairs to Grandma and asked, "What is Grandpa wearing today, pants or shorts?" When Grandpa replied, "Pants," guess who showed up for breakfast with pants on? I was ready for a day's work. Grandpa and Grandma drove to Pennsylvania and surprised me and Corey on Grandparents' Day at school, which was very nice. Corey remembers Grandpa teaching him how to paint on one side of one of his sheds. He always said, "Always paint with the grain of wood." Easter time at the farm, Grandpa enjoyed watching each of us hunt for our hidden Easter baskets outside, and he always gave my dad the best spots on the farm to hide the baskets. I remember climbing to the top of the windmill to retrieve my basket. One summer, Corey and I were on each one of Grandpa's riding mowers, and we were mowing Grandpa's yard. I think we used to mow it about three times in the matter of 4 days as we were out there because we just loved it. And anyway, we were mowing through the apple orchard, and we'd pick apples off the trees and throw them at each other. And Grandpa told us to stop having a rodeo. So Grandpa enjoyed listening to us play piano, sing, play guitar, and he came out and watched a couple baseball games. Me and my brothers were playing. Last time Grandpa was in Pennsylvania, he told Andrew that if he only had half as much energy as Andrew did, why, he'd be pretty good. Grandpa always told Laurie to keep writing him letters, and he would ask her what she has been learning to bake or cook, as he knew she had a passion for being in the kitchen. So when Corey and I returned from our cycle trip across the country this summer, we stopped in Iowa to see Grandpa and Grandma. Grandpa joked that the next time we would go on a cycle trip, he would have to maybe think about getting a cycle and coming along with us. Maddie loved to play the marble game with Grandpa. Although Grandpa would always win, and he would say, "I beat." Grandpa, our hearts are full of your love for us. Thank you for giving us great memories. It's hard to say goodbye to all of our fun conversations and all the things that you love to pour into us as grandkids. We want to thank each and every one of you for coming out to celebrate his life today.
I'd just like to say I was very impressed. Elwood chose his own music. He had this all written down, so we'll try and do it justice.
Life is easy when you're up on the mountain, and you've got peace of mind like you never know. But then things change, you're down in the valley. Don't lose faith, child, you were never alone. For the God of the mountain is still God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right. And the God of in the bad times, the God of the day is still God in the night. We talk of faith when we're up on the mountain, but the talk comes easy when life at its best. But it's down in the valley of trials and temptations, that's when faith is really put to the test. For the God on the mountain is the God in the valley. When things go wrong, He'll make them right.
Scripture that was chosen for today comes from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 50. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable.
Listen, I tell you a mystery.
We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. For the perishable must clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain.
Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your holy word. And we pray that in these moments where we reflect upon what Paul shares with us and to the Corinthians, that you would fill this moment, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Guiding our reflections in such a way that it brings you honor, brings you glory, Lord, and brings you praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. I've had the privilege of serving here at Lower Deer Creek long enough that I remember when Elwood was about 70, that sweet spot after the time of retirement, you know, when you know all those things that you want to get done after retirement, you have that list, and when you wonder what you're going to do tomorrow. Elwood was strong. He was strong enough to cut wood. He was strong enough to load iron, and he and Ron Hartzler used to run trucks up and down this road quite often full of iron, sometimes having a little fracas here or there just so they stopped in the parking lot long enough for me to run out and see what was going on. In the slide set that was preceding the service, you may have seen a lot of pictures of Elwood. And what struck me in the midst of those pictures was that on one picture, here was Elwood with a four-wheeler, and he had it full of leaves in the back, and the next picture was Elwood in a wheelchair. And that struck me, because in one way or another, it feels like it hasn't been that long ago that Elwood was that strong, willing worker in our congregation, that when something was happening here and needed a helping hand, Elwood was there to help along the way. I thank the Lord for Elwood's willing spirit to work at the work of the church, and he shares that with many of his cousins who also attend here at Lower Deer Creek. When I first read this scripture in his plans, I was pleased, because it's a foundational scripture in our Christian heritage. And the more I worked with it, I realized it really has a testimony that points back to Elwood. In the midst of the scripture, Paul is stressing that we in our flesh and blood, we perishable mortal beings, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Verse 50. Paul spends time in several of his letters talking about this mystery of how our mortal bodies take on this immortality of the kingdom of God. Theologians and preachers alike have explained it over and over again. And yet to most people, it remains hard for us to wrap our minds around. Paul begins this discussion way back at the beginning of chapter 15 here in 1 Corinthians, talking about the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we must understand that there's no way we can get a handle on the resurrection without understanding Jesus as being the pioneer of our resurrection. We do understand the here and now. We understand that if we poke ourselves, we bleed. If something happens to our flesh, we have pain. We understand that if we break the law, there's consequences, penalties for doing so. And in this passage, Paul makes it clear in verse 56 that death is the result of sin. My Bible makes this clear from the very beginning of chapter 3 in Genesis all the way to its culmination in Revelation. Paul points out that the power of sin is the law, because the law defines what sin is. Our flesh and our blood, sin and death, fuel our daily struggle in life. And sometimes we get trapped in the cycle. Sin, death, struggle, law. And that's why this passage is so very important. It declares victory where flesh and blood would declare defeat. And the difference is Jesus Christ. I hope that each and every one of you has adopted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that you have accepted His death upon the cross as atonement for your sins, like Elwood did. Elwood was a believer. And maybe he was a little bit like some of us. We might forget that day. So his baptism was on his birthday. It's hard to forget that, in 1944. And daily he lived into that relationship with Jesus, struggling along in life like all the rest of us, looking forward to the day of victory that was yet to come, which I believe he is enjoying this very day. You see, we can live like everybody else around us, with all the struggles of life, one way or another, trapping us. Or we can choose Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and live into the resurrection that He's already demonstrated for us and the victory that He has already had for us. And that's where Elwood is living. He stood firm in his life, yes, in the midst of struggles and trials. He gave himself to the work of the Lord that fit his skills. It wasn't preaching so much as it was doing those things that just needed to be done. Sometimes doing the things that many of us took for granted. And Elwood was there to get them done. What better testimony is there to a life lived in Jesus Christ than to say at the end, we have victory in Jesus. Rather than a prayer to end our meditation this morning, I wonder if we would move into our folder and share together the Psalm of David, Psalm 23, as our prayer together. Because it begins with the leading of the Lord as a shepherd, and it ends knowing that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we share this together? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.
Would you take out your red hymnal and turn with me to number 535, How Great Thou Art. In the red book, number 535. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all who Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul,
The family would like to invite you to a fellowship meal that is being prepared for us in the basement. Those of you that are not going on to the cemetery with us can feel free to go on downstairs after the prayer and enjoy a meal there. And when we're done, we'll come and join you. Let us join our hearts in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for Elwood. We thank you for the gift of life that you've given us to share with one another. And we thank you, Lord, that Elwood shared his life with us. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for his reminder through Scripture of the victory that we can have through your Son, Jesus Christ, as our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that as we think of Elwood now, it's no longer in a wheelchair with oxygen, but it's victorious and with you. So Heavenly Father, we pray that you would bless us as we take his earthly tent, empty as it is, to its final resting place. Guide us on that journey, Lord. We pray that you would bless the fellowship around the tables that we will share with one another. Bless the food that we're about to partake of, that from it we would gain the strength to serve you like Elwood did. And as you work among us, Lord, in us and through us, Lord, we give you honor and glory and praise. And thank you for Elwood. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.